webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for Thursday, the 4th of May, 2017, broadcasting from the home of redemptionism, where we love every train of thought visiting our station of freedom. We're coming to you from the Gospel Revolution studios right here in bustling downtown Eva, Alabama, thanks to the generosity of GR executive producers Jimmy and Carrie McCollum. But right now, from Palm Beach Gardens in Florida, bringing you more consistent, persistent, repetitive CPR of the gospel, is the president and founder of the Gospel Revolution, that one and only, that precious, that Mike Williams.
Well, thank you, Barris. Hello. Good evening.
Good evening to you.
I haven't done my Bela Lugosi in a long time. Good evening.
Oh, good evening. How are things in Florida, friend? Is your pond full yet?
Yes, we had a 5-inch rain right here in Palm Beach Gardens this past week. Overnight, it was beautiful. No wind, just heavy rain. And I'm watching the ducks go by now. So they used to be walking on the pond, and now they're swimming on the pond. They're much happier. So
that was spiritual ducks. They walked on water.
Well, they walked on the pond, that's for sure.
You just take that presence of God with you everywhere now, don't you?
I know. See, that's the way you tell a spiritual story. You say the ducks walked on the pond. You conveniently leave out the part the pond was dry, but you know, people assume what they want to assume.
They do, and we should not get in their way of doing that.
Not at all.
Well, I did a little perimeter check this morning. Yesterday, 16 people died in tornadoes around the South, where I am, and the Midwest of the USA. And and we didn't escape exactly here. Only one person got killed in Alabama, but right here where I am, one of my neighbors, we have roofs off, we've got trees down, and it was the first time in my life I have ever seen rain go totally horizontal. Mm. Not only that, it was so intense, I could not see. About 60 feet away from me is a tree. I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
In fact, I couldn't see our willow tree, which is only about 40 feet away from us, and honest to God, it was, I just said to myself, Laura and I looked at each other and I just said, if we die, we die.
Yeah.
There was nowhere else to go because it was like
the basement, Barris, the basement.
I can't get Laura into the basement.
Ah.
I could go. I mean, it doesn't really matter. She could die, I suppose.
You need to get an elevator to the basement then. Or at least a hole in the floor and a mattress at the bottom, and at least she can jump, you know?
Well, it'd be good if she could jump, yeah. But anyway, so I don't know what to say to that.
Gospel Revolution.
Michael, this week we heard from Victor Brennan. Now, something happened yesterday which never happens. Just I was driving home and I got a call from Canada. It was Victor Brennan. And Vic is, how do I put it, incredulous, intense, passionate.
Wound up like a clock.
Oh, you know it because he called you the day before.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He says, dear fellow travelers on the Glory Road, don't worry, Barris, I don't get any more poetic than that. I just wanted to encourage fellow GRs, gospel revolutionaries, to read the entire book of 1 John.
Yep.
After listening to your exegesis a few weeks back, oh, I like that. That's a big word. That's a $5 word in my estimation.
It is.
After listening to your exegesis a few weeks back, I recently felt compelled to read the first two chapters. Then when I got into it, I had to read the whole thing. Frankly, it's the first time in many years that I have read 1 John. But what a piece of hooey. Parenthesis, garbage. I think he feels that I just don't understand Canadian. After coming to an understanding of the gospel via Mike's teaching and via the scriptures, Law, Psalms, and the Prophets, this book is totally contrary to scripture. I am no expert, but a few scripture verses come to mind, like Jeremiah 31:33 mm-hmm. through 34, Daniel 9:24, and all of Isaiah 53, to name just a few that are violated by a reading of 1 John. It seems to me that this whole book was written in direct opposition to Paul and against Paul. John is preaching a conditional gospel. He is preaching the law of Moses, and he's preaching that sin is in effect. It is very evident that he's got no understanding of Paul's gospel, which does agree with the scriptures. Thanks to Mike and Barris for giving us the tools to see these fallacies that have plagued and tormented people for centuries. It is evident that the church in Jerusalem, James, Peter, and John, were antichrist in the full meaning of the word. Best regards, Victor Brennan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the one thing that just stands out to me like a bright and glorious shining light in this email from Victor is that he took what he read and went directly to the scriptures to see if it agreed. Instead of turning over and seeing what Paul said and trying to make it balance out between one to the other, or pulling a verse from here and one from over there, depending on what you want to preach on Sunday, whether it's judgment or grace, and patchwork a sermon together. I'm telling you, I'm a proud papa right now. And now, he didn't just wonder about it. He's given us three references in the scriptures that totally disagree with 1 John. He read 1 John and automatically, that's the part I like, these three places came to mind. Wow. If you ever wondered what a renewed mind is, it's not getting rid of thoughts about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It is about having your mind renewed so that your template for understanding truth is the scriptures, whether it's Paul's writings, Peter, James, John, Revelation, it just doesn't make a difference where you find it. Our adherence to, love for the scriptures, and we take the definition of the scriptures from Jesus. We also take that conclusion from all of the writers of the New Testament based on what they quoted as scripture. We take that completely to mean nothing more than the Old Testament, nothing more than that.
What did that guy pull us up the last week and say, are you for real? Jesus never read the New Testament?
Yeah. Yeah, and somebody took that bait, Barris.
They did?
They did.
Yeah. Well, maybe we're just too good at our job, Mike.
Exactly.
Now, we saw, and something in Vic's letter just reminded me of this, on our Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution page, Paul Vigors wrote, who else teaches in a mate, people like you, they like what you've discovered about this dialectic business. Who else teaches in a dialectic or comparative way other than the Apostle Paul? The answer, Mike and Barris. In their many discussions on the PowerCast of the letter by Jim Richards, we're going to get to that today.
Yeah.
Be patient, friends. They quote Jim's position first, like Paul. Mike and Barris then describe the problems with that position, like Paul. But I say, and he's talking about, well, you say this, but I say. Then they give their position. We have learned much from Jim's letter with his teaching. Thank you, Paul Vigors. You're spot on, mate. We have learned so much from Jim's letter. And
wow,
we're going to get to it pretty soon.
You know, I didn't really realize that that was what we were doing. It just kind of comes natural now. But that is what we are doing with Dr. Jim's letter, is we're not critiquing it without quoting it. We are giving you the direct statements, word by word, line by line. And this is dialectic teaching. We are presenting his case first. we're letting him speak for himself. And we could probably speak it as at least as well as Jim does, might even be able to do it a little bit better to make his own point. But that's where then the dialectic comes in and we bring in the gospel. So I appreciate those comments from our gospel revolutionary, Paul Vigors. Guys, these things are very encouraging. And many times, I mean, I did not stop to think that we really are doing a dialectic teaching on this letter, but it really is true. That's exactly what we're doing.
So, Vic, thanks for your letter. And Paul Vigors, thanks for your comments. Now, from our private group, that is the Gospel Revolution private group, and anyone can...
The secret group.
It is a secret. Well, actually, the reason that I first encouraged us having one of these was because there are people who just don't want to be identified for reasons of anonymity. We're all on a journey, and some people are in different places on their journey. Gosh, we have a lot of pastors who want to remain anonymous. So from our private group, I culled this little gem, somebody who will be anonymous because it is a private group, wrote, "The gospel was made very clear to me when I was able to see that there are two gospels in the New Testament. Being able to grasp the validity of the scriptures, law, psalms, and the prophets, and their fulfillment in Christ, while gleaning from the very astute interpretation of scriptures by the apostle Paul, has been paramount in my journey."
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is from somebody who...
this is a pastor.
It is a pastor.
Yep.
"Coming from a word of faith background, I had defined the New Testament as the infallible word of God. Therefore, I was left making excuse after excuse in an attempt to keep any form of continuity." I understand that. Oh, gosh. "Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last." I so understand this comment, Mike, because...
Goodness, yes.
There are so many... Yeah. Now, somebody else added, "That was similar to my journey also. I just posted about the freedom from Christianity, which is an apology for being human."
Wow.
And then the original writer said, "When Mike and Beres covered 1 John 2 weeks ago on the PowerCast, Vic, this is what your letter reminded me of. When Mike and Beres covered 1 John 2 weeks ago on the PowerCast, it was a reminder of Christianity. Damned if you do and damned if you don't."
Wow.
Hmm.
Beres, we've got some absolutely brilliant people out there. Their total grasp of this gospel amazes me. When I hear back from this, I learn that much more from them. That's what's so profound. I don't know what that actually is. You can talk all day, but until you hear how that reflects back to you from the people who hear you, you don't know what you're saying. And you don't know where to go from where you're at. That's how important these emails are, folks.
And that's exactly what happened when you listened to yourself teaching on predestination, which we'll come to in a minute. But you heard yourself say things you didn't even know you'd said.
I still would swear I never said those things. If it hadn't been recorded, I have no recollection of saying them. I have no recollection of having the thought.
Well, that's how I feel about that one that I didn't record.
Now you're going to have to pray that the Holy Ghost, the great teacher, will do it again.
Well, if the Holy Ghost doesn't come to my rescue, at least Bernice was scribbling down notes at 10 to the dozen, so I know I'm pretty well covered there. Bernice, oh, Bernice. Oh, no, that was Bernie, wasn't it?
Gospel Revolution.
Hey, I put up a new article in gospelrevolution.com. Guys, you need to go there and read what I wrote on what the hell is hell, the history of hell. Where did hell come from? I mean, is the lake of fire a literal lake of fire? I mean, is it real? Is it to be taken seriously? Go up on gospelrevolution.com and read that article, What the Hell is Hell. It's down on your right-hand column under articles. You'll see it. And if you have any questions, feel free to record them on United States area code 234-564-0971. For outside of the United States, the number is 1-234-564-0971.
could this be madness? What did you hear? What you heard may not be perfectly clear. Take a stand, now we'll be right here. Call questions of the lifeblood flowing through the veins of the gospel revolution. Questions are the lifeblood flowing through the veins of the gospel revolution.
Now, Mike, we just talked about your new series called Predestined to Life. Tell us again about Predestined to Life, the series that was just recently recorded in Calgary, Canada.
Well, for me, it was definitely a point of no return, I would say. It seems like every point that I come to is a new point of no return. What do we have to go back to? There's nothing to go back to. This gospel is so powerful. Setting the parameters of this gospel through Paul's teaching on predestination is so powerful. I just hope that everybody listens to this, and more than everybody, I hope everybody listens to it. If you take things in context, this is one of the most irrefutable teachings I've ever. A lot of times I feel a little strange saying it's my teaching, because I'm really not teaching. I am actually pointing out what Paul taught.
Well, you're actually a bit like Columbus. You're setting out for the new world. You're going where nobody you know has gone before, and you're just discovering what's already there.
Exactly. It's there, and Paul has taught this so well, and much better than I ever dreamed that he did. Paul is becoming a better teacher literally every year that I live.
That reminds me of Mark Twain. He said, when I was 17, my dad was so ignorant and stupid, but when I was 24, it was amazing how much he'd learned in 7 short years.
Exactly. And that's been my experience with Paul. I mean, his wisdom is growing for me almost on a daily basis. This man, I am so grateful for this man. I am so grateful for this really special intervention from Christ into the situation that materialized after the resurrection. Even Paul said he was like one born out of due time, out of season. It was odd. This whole introduction of Paul was out of step, out of whack of everything that had happened up to that point. Now, you got to respect a man who admits that right up front and doesn't try to justify what has happened. Just admit, you know, this really is out of whack. But here's the facts, and this is what happened.
That is something about Paul which garners my total admiration.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you take someone like James, for example. James never said, well, this could be the Lord speaking, or this is just me and my ideas. He seemed to be, well, it was all God, apparently. It's hard to know.
Mm-hmm.
But with Paul had no problems in saying, look, this isn't God talking. This is just my opinion.
Yeah. In other places, he said it could be God talking. I don't know. I don't even know if it was me that had the experience. I'm not sure.
Yes, I know a man who was caught up into heaven. Yeah.
The level of honesty is profound, and I love that.
And there is something about that that makes you want to believe him even more. The fact that he's not being, there is no guile.
Exactly. There really isn't any. And isn't that true, though, with everyone that we become attentive to? It is those who are able to embrace their own shortcomings, inadequacies, their own doubts. But you are right. You're not going to find that in Peter, James, or John's letters. They emphatically say, we are the ones who knew him, we're the ones who saw him, we ate with him, we handled the word of God.
If you're going to trust anyone, trust us.
Yes.
And then they go on to misquote scripture and turn it upside down and back to front.
Yes, and misquote scripture.
Good Lord.
And then also say, you not only are still under God's law, you need to understand the laws that Christ left us, and also you need to keep the rules that the apostles have left you.
Yeah.
The apostles didn't teach anything about freedom from law. They tripled down on the law. It's a triple down. You got to keep Moses' law, Jesus' law, and ours. And that was very consistent with these guys.
Yeah.
But any self-doubt? Nah, none there whatsoever. But Paul, as you said, has that very endearing quality of pointing out his own shortcomings. I'm the chief of sinners. Goodness, it would be fun just to go through and see where Paul made sure that people are saying I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. All such stuff is absolutely ridiculous. All of these places, how many times did Paul actually go through and do these disclaimers about people should listen to him because he's called of God, because he's anointed, because he's the chosen one?
There is a fascinating thing right there you're touching on, because if you go through Paul's letters chronologically, instead of the way the New Testament was composed, was the biggest letters are at the front and the smallest are at the back. Hence, Jude is the last one. 1 Corinthians or Romans is the first one. So
I did not know that, Barris. You just informed me.
So few years, so many tidbits.
I learned from my elders, I'm telling you.
If you go through chronologically Paul's letters, he starts off saying, look, I'm as good an apostle as anyone. And he ends up, I'm the chief of sinners. And you can see this as he proceeds and progresses and ages. He goes through this process, which is, don't say I'm not an apostle. I am. Of course, I'm making a fool of myself right now by even claiming it, but you know that I am. I'm as good as any of the apostles. And then at the end, I'm the chief of sinners. And he goes all through these letters and describes himself in almost ever deprecating terms.
Yeah.
Not because he wants to look humble.
No.
But because he's just realizing, as this gospel gets into me and I get into this gospel, more and more I'm realizing that we are all one.
Yes, and my adequacies or inadequacies are irrelevant to the gospel.
Lovely.
That is the powerful message that comes out of Paul the teacher. Not just his message, but the teacher himself lets us know that human adequacy or inadequacy is irrelevant to the power of the gospel. And only when it becomes irrelevant does the gospel become powerful. As long as our participation is emphasized, every degree we emphasize the participation of man to make the gospel truth, then that is the degree that we diminish the gospel indeed. This comparison, you know, one thing that popped into my mind, then according to what you just told me, then the book of Revelation was not in the mind of those who did the first canon and who laid out the New Testament, putting it in order of the largest books first and the smallest last, because suddenly, bam, we got this big old book right at the end after Jude. That's really quite remarkable.
Well, one of the reasons that Revelation is at the end of our modern Bibles is because the early church fathers and people like Lucifer, people like Luther, they consigned a bunch of books to the end. In fact, Luther had Hebrews and a few other books all at the end because they weren't worth reading, in his opinion. So Luther wasn't exactly perfect, but I think he was right in putting Revelations at the end.
The older you get, the more your brain cells get filled up with garbage, and it's hard to dump those things. I've tried to do one of those dumps where you just go and plug in somewhere and just let all the old crap out and make room for the new. It just doesn't work that way. You got to overwrite it somehow, and I'm working on that.
Hey, mate, one of our famous gospel revolutionaries, famous because he's known you for 20 years, maybe 25, and he has been instrumental in you coming down to Cullman, Alabama, which is my new stamping ground, Barry Laney. Now, Barry has been a GR for a couple of decades, and as he has slowly gotten into the gospel, he's just become more and more God in the earth to people around him. He has helped put on, along with Pastor Ted from Decatur, he's helped put on the conferences here. More recently, he has dipped into his own pocket and started feeding orphans in the Philippines. And that is how he came to the attention of a bunch of local pastors over there who asked him to come over and teach them. This man is teaching the gospel now in the Philippines, and he's taking people one step at a time. He's putting himself out there, dipping into his own pocket, sharing the gospel. And I wrote in our Friends of Mike Williams group, how do you be God in the earth? Well, try this on for size. And he's done it all out of his own pocket, or some donations from other people. And I'm ever so proud of what the gospel has done in this young man. It's just wonderful.
That is fantastic.
As we speak right now, he is teaching in the Philippines.
Oh, that's wonderful. And we are very grateful for that and very, very supportive of what Barry is doing. He used to have some videos up on YouTube.
Yes, and they're still there, I believe.
Oh, wonderful, because I went through and watched them all. They are all good. I was thrilled.
How did you find them? Just Barry Laney?
I'm not really sure how I came upon them the first time. I don't know if someone told me about them or what, but I didn't even know that Barry Laney had ever listened to me before. So this made it even more thrilling to me to hear this gospel coming out of someone that I had no clue even knew who I was.
Mm.
So it was very exciting for me to hear gospel truth coming out on these videos. And the videos, the ones that I watched, he's sitting out in his front yard, just kind of lounged in a chair and just talking to people.
You taught last time about predestination and hope. Now, the time before in Calgary, I taught on what do we do now? Where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm.
But this young man's life is the clearest expression I can conceive of to say, follow your heart. Do what your heart tells you. Now, not everyone's heart is going to be telling them to go feed orphans. But, gosh, just by living, I mean, at the very least, at the smallest increment of what we do now, sits this. You can be God to the people around you. Just
oh, exactly.
So simple.
It really is, and we're very grateful for that. And we thank Barry for his efforts and what he's doing to help this planet with the gospel.
If the Bible is all about Jesus, don't you think that most churches would mention him with at least the same frequency as they mention all of their favorite dogmas and doctrine and all those rules of your particular brand of religion? Tithing, moralism, Old Testament law, abortion, gays, politics, all hail the leader, persecution, the end times, don't forget the bloody rules, God's perfect will for your life, fleeing youthful lusts, rock music, speaking in tongues, the coming kingdom, worldliness and how to escape. But those pesky rules, don't forget them. Heresy, prophecy, soul-winning missions, offerings, wrong doctrine, right doctrine. And don't forget all those bloody rules. Relationships, long hair, short hair, dyed hair, liberalism, greasy grace, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, dispensationalism, and rules, rules, never-ending bloody rules. And Calvinism, Arminianism, a missionary service, Sunday school, swearing and cussing, besetting sins, sexual purity. Oh, and give us some more rules, won't you? False prophets, confession, dress code, mixed swimming, dancing, movies, television, dating. Oh, and did I mention the freaking rules? Mike, we're going to make a little foray back into this letter. And we're talking.
Are we going to foray?
Foraying is what we are going to be doing.
Oh, wonderful.
I knew you'd like it. If I ever saw a foray, mate, that would be you.
I can foray right along with the best of them.
Well, only when you've got your skates on. But I can see I can see over the wireless telephone right now that you have your skates on, and so we're gonna foray into this letter by Dr. James Richards, the owner and operator of Impact Ministries. And I saw him just this morning on YouTube, and I thought, my, what a fetching fellow he looks. But anyway, we're not going to look at his looks. We're going to look at his words today. And so we continue in the letter that says, there is a false idea that since Jesus used his faith to obtain our peace, we do not need to have our own personal faith. Apart from our faith in his finished work, the cross is simply an historical event that has no real meaning in the life of the potential believer or the believer.
Wow. Well, we can stop right there and go the rest of the show, I think.
Okay.
Oh, my, Barris. I tell you, I want you to stop and think of the gravity of this statement. That outside of what human beings believe, the cross is completely and totally, without doubt, the most ineffective event that has ever happened on the planet.
Say that again.
That without personal faith, the cross is the most ineffective.
Oh, so you're reflecting on his statement, apart from our faith in his finished work. Whatever finished means, because it's never finished. It's apparently you got to confess your sin all over again. But apart from our faith in his finished work, the cross is simply an historical event that has no real meaning in the life of the potential.
The statement itself is so oxymoronic. Faith in his finished work. Then it's not a finished work if it requires your faith.
Is it true that it takes a moron to utter an oxymoron?
Put an oxy with it? I don't know. I always thought oxy was something that cleaned things, but it looks like if you put an oxy and a moron together, it would clean them up. So, but evidently not that.
I once saw an ox and a moron in the same paddock. That was pretty instructional.
Exactly.
Okay, what is it here that really, I mean, you just hauled me up. What is it here that really is burning your wick?
Well, this issue of personal faith, that's one of the things we covered. And please, folks, get these. If you've never gotten any series that I've ever produced, please get this one. For those of you who want to debate with the Gospel Revolution, you need to know what I said. This is the most outrageous stuff I've ever said in my life. You need to hear it.
Now, if you're really broke, I mean, if you are dead set down on the bones of your ass, ask us for it and we will send it to you. But
exactly.
This is not an invitation just to take advantage of us. That is an offer we make because we want this gospel to get out. And this is the most important message of all. $11.99. If you want to debate us, if you want to argue, if you want to have anything, really.
Whatever the purpose or reason, it's yours.
Go to gospelrevolution.com and you'll find it there on page 2 or 3 or 4.
And even for those of you who have a debate with the gospel and you feel a cause to resist it, you need to see what we're saying to be able to resist it properly.
Actually, I'm going to make an offer right now, and you'll probably fire me again.
Oh, I've been waiting on this.
Oh, you've done it every year for the last 5 years. You know that.
It's a ritual. It's how I show you that I love you.
I feel so loved. Okay, so anyone who wants to debate this issue, the issue of predestination, let's put it all out there for the Calvinists. Anyone who wants to debate us on the issue of predestination, here's what we'll do. We'll give this to you for free.
Exactly.
You hear it, and then you call in to our number, freedom@gospelrevolution.com. That's number one. BarrisBart@gmail.com. That's number two. Mike Williams is on a – look, our phone numbers are up on the website, www.gospelrevolution.com. We are into daring people. to prove us wrong, almost.
Please do.
If you can prove us
wrong. We don't want to be wrong, people.
No.
So show us.
Exactly. So
show us. We don't want to be wrong. Why would we want to be wrong? Do you want to be wrong?
Look, if it makes me money. Hey, did you hear this week? Benny Hinn was raided by the IRS.
Wow.
Let's not go there. You know how badly I want to go there. But if you're broke or if you want to debate us, go to write to freedom@gospelrevolution.com and ask us for this series Predestination for free.
Yeah. And in fact, let's just send out free offers right now to some specific people.
Oh, okay, I need to approve it.
Yeah. Number one on our list, since we've brought him up and he's in trouble with the IRS, he could handle some good news. Benny Hinn, you have a free download on the subject of predestination. There was a time that you said for several months on your TV program that Mike Williams was the best teacher you had ever heard. So now I'm offering you a free series on the subject of predestination. I know nobody's ever given you a satisfactory answer about predestination. Even your own answer does not satisfy you. Jim Richards, we are offering you a free series. For those of you that could not in all good conscience support this ministry by buying a series, now you can clear your conscience. You don't even have to give us a penny. Clear your conscience. All you have to do is download it. John Hagee, John Hagee, please, we are offering you a free series on predestination. Franklin Graham, we are offering you. In fact, we'll pay you. Let us know how much you want for listening to this series, and we will pay you to listen to it. We'll not only send it to you, we'll raise contributions from people who will pay you to listen to this all the way through. All any of you have to do is give a response at freedom@gospelrevolution.com. It's there. It's on the table. If you are a pastor of any form of a church, this series on predestination is yours free. We may even come up with a contribution to your church if you will simply listen. If you're strapped for cash and you could use some money and you are in the ministry, even if you're Benny Hinn and you need a little more money and you want us to pay you to listen to the series, we will pay you to listen. And I don't know how to let you know we're committed to this gospel more than that. Folks, we're offering to pay you to listen to it. Now, just stop and think of those of you in the ministry. Have you ever offered money to someone to listen to what you have to say? Goodness, folks, this series on predestination, you got to have it, even if you disagree with it. You need to hear what you've got to fight. Because I'm telling you, you're going to have to fight this tooth and toenail because it is so crystal clear. It is so contextually correct. It is so scripturally sound that you are going to have to know what you're fighting against. You don't need to be fighting in the blindly and just hurling insults or whatever. Just listen to it. And I promise you, if we get a call from a pastor of a church who is saying, I'm willing to listen to this, if you make a donation to our church, I'm already in. I'll make a donation to you personally. We'll probably have some other gospel revolutionaries that would make a contribution to you.
Oh, man, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Absolutely, Barris. And it's because we really do love these people. We really care. I know what it's like to be there and be a pastor and know nothing works, but you still got to talk about it like it does.
Figure out what you earn an hour. If you are a pastor, figure out what you earn an hour, and we'll double it for you to listen to this.
That's fair. I'm not sure we could pay Benny Hinn double what he earns.
No, I had him in mind. But see, him, after the IRS get through with him, and the other day they raided his offices while he was in Paris, France, after they get through with him, maybe his per hour income will not be quite as good.
Exactly. We'll go by the adjusted income.
There you go, the adjusted. So gosh, that was a rabbit trail. We didn't expect to go down, but let me just repeat this paragraph that got your knickers in a twist there, Mr. Michael.
Let's get back to it. There's more to be said.
Oh, no, more rabbit trails. I hope you got a story about Norville on this. That'd be just the cream on the cake. There is a false idea that since Jesus used his faith to obtain this peace with man, we do not need to have our own personal faith. Apart from our faith in his finished work, the cross is simply an historical event that has no real meaning in the life of the potential believer. Or the believer.
Oh, man, that is, that's like a wool sweater on an August day at 100. My goodness. Get this off of me and do it now. And that's what we're trying to do, folks, is get this off of you. This very statement is what we are doing our best to get this heavy coat off of you. This is ridiculous. But that's what Christianity is. It's just ridiculous. There is no other religion on earth that takes the work of Christ as Jim's letter just did and make the cross, the work of God, the plan of God, the word of God completely ineffective. It's just history.
So unless we do something, the cross is meaningless.
Meaningless. Now, that's not what Paul taught. Paul taught if you add something to the cross, it becomes meaningless. That's the difference in a teacher like Paul and the teaching like what we're getting right now from Jim. And let me tell you where personal faith comes from. It comes from personal Lord. You must make Jesus your personal Lord. Now, first off, let's go back to the guts of this.
I so want to say something, but I want to hear what you have to say first.
Hold on to it, Bears. Hold on to it.
I'll try.
We've got personal Lord. There is not a single phrase in the entire Bible that says personal Lord.
Yes, but there is a verse that says something about inviting Jesus into your heart, isn't it?
In the book of Revelations, standing at the door and knock?
No, that was written to Christians. or as he says, believers, not non-believers. So, no, that doesn't count. What else?
No, it sure doesn't. Nope. So he's already there to those he's standing at the door and knocking. So,
and only the Christian can let him in.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, golly. Oh, this gets worse and worse.
That's the damned if you do, damned if you don't aspect of Christianity, Barris. And but this whole teaching of a personal Lord, you must make Jesus. I watched Joel again the other day, and we don't ever like to close out our message without giving you a chance to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. You make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior.
And as you do, the ushers are passing between you. And there will be cups coming up and down the aisle.
This is a frightening term to me anymore. You make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior.
And of course, we are now bounced back to logic. And logic says, when the heck did the lesser ever bless the greater?
Exactly.
When was the servant or the serf sharecropper, when did he ever create a lord? No, a lord has to be created from above him, not below him.
That's the mentality that this was all written in, was with this understanding. Absolutely. Would have been absurd that the lesser would have made the greater lord. That's yes. Just absurd.
It's totally absurd.
It is indeed. There was nothing on earth that was even in the mind of the writers of Christ, none of them. And they knew what they were saying. You know, if you got a good king or a bad king, that's the only thing that you could hope for in the world. This is so off the rails. These are the basic things that the gospel revolution has exposed. There is no place in the Bible that says Jesus must become a personal Lord or a personal Savior. Because if, now you say, well, why are you doing this, Mike? He talked about personal faith. The only place that personal faith can be applied is to a personal Lord and a personal Savior. There are three things that are absolutely damning to the understanding of the gospel: personal Lord, personal faith, and personal grace.
Well, let me interject here before I forget the idea that we put on hold. I've been listening to a message on apistivism. In other words, the concept that personal faith does not actually work. And one of the things I took out of this message was, the average Christian will ask you, or a fundamental evangelical Christian will ask you to put your faith in the Lord, correct?
Yes.
So they're asking you to believe something of your own volition or of your own free will.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you asked the average fundamental evangelical Christian, what would happen if you said, well, look, you're asking me to believe something of my own free will, of my own volition. So I'm going to ask you to believe something of your own free will and your own volition.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask you to believe that God doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you ask to do that. They cannot do it.
No, exactly.
So the average person who's trying to evangelize others by saying, just believe, just believe. Oh, you've just got to have faith. Just believe. They can't even do it themselves. There now becomes this problem with, really, personal belief?
Mm-hmm.
If you can't do it, why are you asking me to do it?
Yeah, exactly.
I heard that for the first time clearly about a week ago, and I'm gone.
Wow.
My mind is exploding.
Man, that's good. This issue is at the top of the list with the gospel. Sorry, but if Paul can live by the faith of the Son of God and Christ's faith gave him life, tell me how Paul's faith is inferior to yours, or how is yours superior to Paul's? And tell me, how is Christ's faith inferior to yours? He doesn't deny that Christ's faith is applied, but he's saying personal faith is greater than the faith of God, because the one that brings the difference obviously wasn't the faith of Christ. What brings the difference is Jim Richards' faith. Now, I'm sorry, I don't have the audacity to put Jim Richards' faith above Christ's faith. I still got to stay with Christ. All the way down to personal grace. Now, you mentioned these storms that just went through there, Barris, and this is absolutely horrible.
I do believe, frankly, that of the 16 people that died in the South last night, and please, friends and family, I am not trying to minimize the impact of that, but for me to believe that this was, I'd have to believe that I was good in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we had horizontal rain here yesterday, mate.
Yeah.
I can't, we got roofs, but I was spared.
Yeah, this selective salvation, selective faith, and selective grace. Goodness gracious, what a horrific thing. the thing that I saw on the news that, man, it just broke my heart. There was a church, I don't know in what state, but there was a congregation meeting in the church. It was a small church. The church was obliterated by this storm, but nobody was killed in the church. I don't know if anybody was hurt or not, but I know no one was killed. And other people in the area were killed in the same vicinity.
Oh, wow.
And the statement coming from the church was that they were all spared by the grace of God. But you see, you've got to stop and start hearing what you're saying to the people, the families of the people who did die. Evidently, there was no grace there. So what is this kind of grace? It's personal grace. This grace is so selective. And there is nothing selective about the gospel in that, you know, we went through the term election in the teaching on predestination. And if you are elected, you were predestined to be elected. If you're called, you were predestined to be called. And this is all about redemption. And where in the world does personal faith override predestination? I just don't get the illogical thought patterns.
How can it be predestination, which every darn Christian I know believes in? Now, they believe it different ways, but they do believe in it. How can predestination be predestination?
With personal faith involved. It just can't be.
Yeah. Just doesn't make sense.
And I've heard the guys say, well, you were predestined to believe. Well, now that's just ridiculous.
Well, if you were, you must have been predestined not to believe.
That's the only other conclusion.
Yep. And the same people who teach us believe in hell, so God predestined you to go to hell. Some fine God
sent you to this earth to go to hell.
Woohoo!
Man.
I want to worship that kind of God. Let me reread this. I just feel I got to reread it.
Yeah, let's keep it in context.
There is a false idea that since Jesus used his faith to obtain our reconciliation with God, we do not need to have our own personal faith. Apart from our faith in his finished work.
Oh.
Please try to stay upright while I finish this, Michael.
Oh, I'm trying. I'm doubling over here, Bears.
Apart from our faith in his finished work, the cross is simply an historical event that has no real meaning in the life of the potential believer or the believer.
Now, I want you to think about this. The work of the cross is totally ineffective in the life of the potential believer. So how the hell do they become a believer when, as an unbeliever, the gospel is totally ineffective? How does that happen? Is it magic? How do you become a believer? This is what Paul was challenging about faith. All right, so you say that you just got to believe. Well, how shall they believe except they hear? How can they hear except the preacher gets there? And which preacher's going to get there? The Mormon one, the Whoa. Baptist one, the Pentecostal one, the Jehovah Witness one? Are all of them qualified? Oh, man. So, and within the church, you've got several people that would do it differently as far as presenting the gospel to people. So you're not only responsible for your own personal faith, the individual is responsible for who tries to tell them about it. So now the believer has to select the proper preacher. Then the gospel has no effect in the life of a potential believer. Get that, folks. The gospel, how do they become believers if the gospel has no
potential? Stop spitting.
I've got a spit screen on my microphone. It's okay.
Yes. Well, how come it just hit my screen?
Oh, I hope it hit every screen, to tell you the truth, folks. I'm grateful for this letter. It does just set a fire under me. I am so grateful that we get to address this directly. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I make no apologies for that. I don't live by my own faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God.
But that's just your opinion.
No, that is what the Scriptures prepared the entire world for.
Where is the confirmation of that in the New Testament?
First off, there is no place in the Old Testament that gives any wiggle room to a partial believed redemption. It's just not in the Scriptures at all, Barris. It's not there. Where in the world did Isaiah say about the believer? Where does it say that a partial salvation or a partial redemption? It was all for the whole world. And then just to make sure that nobody got it confused, Jesus introduced it, as it is recorded in the book of John, that, believe, believe, believe. And then, but if you read up to chapter 12, you find the conclusion. Sorry, nobody believed because it was predestined that no one would believe so that God could redeem the whole world. That's what John chapter 12 says. God predestined that no one would believe. God, can you get that? God predestined that no one would believe.
I'm trying.
And for a purpose, because he knew that if he could conclude all to be in unbelief, he would have the rite of passage to have mercy upon all.
And then we are faced with Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 5, which says, even when we were dead in sins,
yep,
Christ quickened us.
Oh, no, he couldn't have. We were only potential believers. And you're not quickened until you believe. So that's just not possible that Christ quickened us while we were yet sinners. Sorry, Barris, this teaching that is in the book of Ephesians has to be erroneous according to Dr. James Richards' letter.
You know, possibly he has a different Bible. Did you ever think about that?
Well, these statements come from somewhere.
And I will tell you where they came from. They came from Christianity.
Yep.
And what do we know for sure about Christianity? What we do know is there's multiple thousands of varieties of Christianity, many of which would love to kill each other and did once,
yep,
and would again if they had the freedom to. And they all have one thing to say in common. The Holy Spirit led us here.
Goodness gracious.
Like, what a psychotic Holy Spirit we must have. What a schizophrenic God we must have.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just grateful that as the Holy Ghost, the great teacher, we have very direct instructions about the great teacher. Number one, Jesus said he will never teach anything that's not about him. Now, if you're teaching about personal faith, is that about Christ or is that about you? Holy Ghost doesn't teach you things about you. Sorry.
He does. He told me the other morning that I was a very handsome individual. I looked in the mirror and I heard the Holy Ghost and he said, you may be the smartest person that I've ever placed on planet Earth.
Well, I'm not going to tell you what he told me about you. Because it can't go to air.
And that is the whole thing about this whole damned, I mean, I'm different from you. I don't believe like you. And the Holy Spirit brought me here. Gee whiz.
Everything he tells you about will be about me. That's what Jesus said. He said, and he will cover three subjects: sin, righteousness, and judgment. And each one of those are about Jesus. And whatever he's going to teach you, it's going to comfort you, evidently. I'm sorry, personal faith doesn't comfort anybody. Because number one, you have to pretend that you believe. Well, it's just all by faith.
And when I had personal faith, I was always bloody wondering if I was doing God's will. It was like, am I in his will or am I out of his will?
Yep.
No, it didn't comfort me. That's true.
No, it does not comfort.
And it's supposed to comfort you about sin. Really? The same thing which apparently is going to send you to eternal torment? How is that comfortable?
You see, for us to be able to take what the Holy Ghost has taught to comfort you, I really apologize. I don't know any other way to do this. The only thing we can do to as teachers of the gospel to do that is we have to make Dr. Jim uncomfortable with what he is saying. We have to make all of Christianity uncomfortable. Now, many of you question the line of reasoning, why I get so intense about this. My intent is to make Christianity uncomfortable. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is here to comfort you. Those teachings do not comfort. I'm hoping to make those who make such outlandish statements, such as we have just read in this letter, that personal faith, that without, I cannot get my brain around
settle,
it anymore.
Settle, Peddle.
That personal faith, without personal faith, the work of the cross means nothing. Wow. So without personal faith, does the law mean nothing unless a person believes in the law? This is craziness, folks. You see, the law never asked that you believe in it. The law simply said, this is the law. You didn't have to believe. So if you didn't believe in the law, did it not count? Is God's law completely useless unless you believe in the law? Where's the precedent for this teaching carried over from the scriptures into the new covenant?
The precedent is in 2,000 years of Christian tradition.
It is indeed, Barris. We're up against a big thing here. Now, we're not just another voice out there. We're calling all of Christianity to task for its statements that undermine the work of the cross, undermine the effectiveness of the cross, of the blood of Christ. They undermine the effectiveness of the virgin birth. They undermine the effectiveness of the resurrection from the dead. That is all undermined by this one statement by Jim in this letter. Now, I realize my response has been over the top to many. But folks, I hope you understand now why it's over the top. I don't think it's over the top at all. I couldn't say this loud enough or strong enough. These statements like this are destroying human lives.
Let me repeat the statement so that we all are on the same page. There is a false idea that since Jesus used his faith to obtain reconciliation and peace with man, we do not need to have our own personal faith. Apart from our faith in his finished work, the cross is simply an historical event that has no real meaning in the life of the potential believer or unbeliever. Let me foray into another area. If you read Romans 3 towards the end, if you read the verse that says, "And I now live by the faith of the Son of God."
Yeah.
If you read these, you see that this is purely about Jesus. When we take the Greek with multiple cases and try and translate it into the English with one case or two cases, what we're doing is opening ourselves up to ridicule. In the Greek, there is a case which suggests ownership. If you want to check into this, just Google faith of Christ versus faith in Christ. I don't have to spend my time teaching people if they can just Google it now, and you can find out. But the fact of the matter is that it's the faith of Christ which sanctifies us, makes us holy. It is not our faith at all. If you're a Facebook follower, then hit the search bar in Facebook and search Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. If you want any of our hundreds of free products, go to www.gospelrevolution.com, where we have over 2,500 hours of free audio available, and fill your boots. Now, listen, when you go in there, you'll find some old Glenn Klein online messages, and they are great. Or you can just download any of our thousands of hours of material teachings, podcasts, or you can just simply plug into our 24/7 gospel radio. Just go to www.gospelrevolution.com. You'll find it. And while you're there, watch some of Jeff Robertson's videos. Now, the videos that Jeff Robertson has had up there, what, 2-3 years now? I mean, there are hundreds of videos, and every one of them was first run by Mike Williams. Now, everything we do here is run by Mike Williams. We call it proofing. And you need to know that when you're listening to these videos, you're hearing a pure gospel. Just want to kind of tell you that.
Listen in your office, in your car, or even your neighborhood bar. You can listen with your whole family.
So again, I'm going to read this phrase, and we're going to have a.
Want me to go off again? Is that why you keep doing this?
I just want to see how much I can laugh at you. So here is the sentence out of this whole letter that we addressed today. There is a false idea that since Jesus used his faith to obtain this reconciliation between God and man, we don't need to have our own personal faith. Apart from our faith in his finished work, the cross is simply an historical event that has no real meaning in the life of the potential believer or the believer. Can you tie this whole thing up in a sentence of less than 20 words, mate?
Once again, John 12. Nobody believed because that was not the plan of God. John 12. Jesus said, and if you do not believe, I will not judge you.
Gospel Revolution.
And so it is that we must leave you, family and friends. Remember, religion wants to downsize your expectations, outsource your thinking, and repurpose your existence. God's eternal plan was just to enjoy the heck out of you and all of your uniqueness. The earliest church fathers who understood the gospel in their native language, Greek, and with their native mindset, to which the original Greek text was aimed, were much closer in time and understanding to Jesus than the later Latinizers of Christianity. That is to say, the various Roman Catholic popes, Jerome, the translator of the Bible into Latin, along with Augustine, the father of most modern Christian thinking. One author, John Wesley Hansen, in 1899 published a book entitled Universalism, the prevailing doctrine of the Christian Church during its first 500 years. In it, he quotes his early church fathers in their own words, along with the statements of modern scholars, historians, and critics of all sides of opinion. You can pick up this little gem for 99 cents Kindle edition, which you can read for free on your phone, tablet, or computer, and for as little as $8 for a hard copy on Amazon. Go get you one. You won't regret it. And after reading it, you'll be an instant hit at church dinners and sound both impressive and, as all get out, irrefutable. We run a value for value model here, and it costs us time, cash, and energy to research, produce, and maintain this free information. This value for value model is the only way we feel that we can present the gospel freely and unhindered. So if you feel you've received real value from this podcast, I'm asking you to seriously consider donating towards it. Stick your hands in your pocket. Why don't you call area code 321-220-4373 and speak to Jeff Robertson about how you can participate. Or go to www.gospelrevolution.com and hit the donate link. And remember, the cash is not the only way that you can support the gospel. Anything you can do to help the gospel can make all the difference for somebody else, just like you, starting their own journey towards thinking for themselves. If you have any questions, feel free to record them on United States area code 234-564-0971. For outside of the United States, the number is 123-456-4971. Perhaps you'd like to invite Mike to your area? It is easier than you might think. Call our office on the number we just mentioned with details, when, where, and why, and we will make that happen. So now, it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the GR Studios in bustling downtown Eva, Alabama, where last week we just got a new flagpole, and we had an outstanding attendance. All the churches in the area got together, and we all prayed for a blessing on this flagpole, and unfortunately, last night in the severe weather, it broke and blew down. I don't know how else to say it. It's just, we're feeling devastated here in Eva, Alabama. So now it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the GR Studios in Eva, Alabama, and
it is good night from Michael Williams right here in Palm Beach Gardens, 33410, where no such events have taken place here. We lived in a blessed land. Guys, we really thank you so much. The only way I could have gotten to the point to be so audacious with these statements and these responses to what Christianity is teaching is with your responses to us. We have something to say when you respond. That's why we've been using Jim like we have. This is something for us to respond to. So keep those emails coming, your post on Facebook. We'll keep those private as it comes out of the private page, as Beres told you. And thank you so very much. We do appreciate you. We're still in pledge drive. So keep those cards and letters coming, folks. We love you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast, but if you didn't, remember, just because you're offended does not mean you're right. So if you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, then join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
Better.
Gospel Revolution.
Hey, Benny boy, come and play now.
Miracle. Come show us how you do your miracles. Let's take your magic act to hospital. Be a pal. What better place to do some unpaid good for TV space but hospital? Where there's no money and where all you'll get is love.
Bank love.
Where everybody's sick, so they're the ones to pick. For God's love and miracles,
you could have 100% success rate.
Kids are there with nothing else but cancer and despair. Their moms and dads are pulling out their hair.
Real people
waiting there for healing miracles and medical bills to be paid. And here you are, God's healing messenger that drives a big Rolls Royce.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
So have the guts to say that you are all display, or come and give some kids a choice.
Come on, Benny, you're the man, you're the healing man.
Then again, God maybe wants these kids to die in pain.
Hey, that'll preach.
While you live off of your illicit gain, while you claim that you deserve it for some reason that you cannot name. Yes, Christ is real, But Christians are not like that Christ I've come to feel. And so I'll turn my heel on all your BS spiel. You're just another thief who's not in jail.
Benny boy, Benny boy, come out and play. You gonna have some big fun. You'll even dine in the aisles. Yes, you will.